Good afternoon, everyone. It's a tremendous chus and a tremendous privilege to be here. I want to really begin by thanking Rabbi Hauer for his visionary leadership at the Orthodox Union that has really spilled out from its headquarters in New York and really has affected and has impacted and has uplifted so many communities, not just even in North America, but around the world. And Rabbi Posey and Rabbi Motzin and many, Rabbi Glasser, all the other incredible men and women who make the Orthodox Union run day in and day out. We are the beneficiaries of their avoda, the beneficiaries of their incredible work. And Kodesh Baruch Hu should just give Rabbi Hauer and all of his dedicated staff an unending reservoir, continued koach to continue to accomplish so much on behalf of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. There's an incredible story that is told about the great tzaddik, Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman, who was known as the Panovich Rav. Panovich Rav was one of those individuals who is really credited, one of those luminaries, great tzaddikim, who is credited with rebuilding the Jewish people in the aftermath of the Holocaust. Rav Kahaneman was one of those individuals with an unending and unyielding sense of hope and optimism that no matter how bleak and how difficult circumstances looked, there was always the opportunity to dig deep within ourselves and to rebuild. And Rav Kahaneman often used to repeat a particular mashal, a particular parable. It was a story about a wealthy man, and the government was trying to get him to invest in the military sector. They wanted to advance the military causes, so they invite this wealthy individual to one of the premier military installations. The head, the colonel, the general of that military takes around the rich man, shows him the soldiers, the uniforms, their exercises, all incredible things. The end of the tour, he sits down the rich man in his office and he said, "Nu, you know, what do you think?" The rich man responds, incredible. I was so impressed with the discipline, so impressed with the dedication, so impressed with the skills, but there's one thing that's bothering me. You know, you had this obstacle course, and in this obstacle course, there are these pits, these ravines, all types of simulations, barbed wires, high walls, low walls, mud, all this kind of stuff. The rich man says, "You know what? I would like to make a dedication. And I would like to pay for the paving and the flattening out of the obstacle course." The soldiers, they're schwitzing so much. It's so difficult. Let's make things just a little bit easier for them. It's going to be whatever, the Schwartz family obstacle course. And we'll just pave everything, make it smooth." The general, of course, chuckled, said, "Sometimes money can't make you smart." He said, "You have to understand, my dear friend, at the end of the day, it is exactly the effort expended on the obstacle course that makes good soldiers great. It's the bruises, and it's the falling down and getting back up, and it's the fatigue on that simulated battlefield that allows these soldiers to go out and to accomplish incredible things." My dear friends, since October 7th, we have been on an ongoing, perpetual obstacle course. But like the obstacle course in the mashal and the parable of the Panovich Rav, it's the obstacle course that builds muscle. And it's the obstacle course that builds resolve. Over the course of this last year, we have faced enormous loss. And I think for so many of us, even though now we are a year out of the terrible, catastrophic events of October 7th, of Shmini Atzeres, of Simchas Torah, we still struggle to wrap our minds around what it is that has occurred to our people. As we gather here for this beautiful event, and there is, you can feel it, it's so fascinating when you come to these type of events, there's an air of simcha, which is so interesting, because we're not here for a simcha, we're here because it's an Eis Tzara L'Yaakov, because our people are facing difficult times. But yet you feel a sense of simcha, because whenever Jews come together, there is profound simcha, but yet as we come together, over 100 of our brothers and sisters languish in captivity. Their whereabouts unknown, their condition unknown. And as we gather together here, our precious holy soldiers are fighting Am Yisrael's wars, Eretz Yisrael's wars, on multiple fronts. Rabid anti-Semitism on college campuses, in our cities, internationally. The last year has been an overwhelming national obstacle course. But like the mashal of the Panavicharov, the obstacle course does one thing. It makes you stronger. And so we stand here a year later, and through everything that we have endured as a nation, as individuals, we stand here stronger. You know, I've thought throughout this entire time that when people say the refrain, Am Yisrael Chai, the Jewish people live, we're selling ourselves so short. Am Yisrael Chai, that's a given. That's a given. Of course, Klal Yisrael is like, Klal Yisrael will never disappear from underneath the stars. That is a God-ordained promise. It's not simply Am Yisrael Chai. We're here and we're thriving. We're here and we're stronger. We're here and the sky is not falling. We are here 1 year into a war with broken hearts and resolve stronger than ever. We are here because after a year on the obstacle course, we have not yielded. We have not given in. We have not surrendered. A year on the obstacle course, and we are stronger than ever. The challenge, of course, is that we cannot stop. You know, it's normal that a year into this, we become a little bit fatigued. It is, we feel it in ourselves. We've been saying the same Kapitlach of Tehillim. We've been davening in the same list of hostages. We've been davening for the success of our soldiers. And sometimes a year in, it is normal, even for the most committed and spiritually invigorated people, to sometimes feel a little bit fatigued. But it is dafka in this moment that our sacred task is to continue our avodah, to continue our holy work. It is now that we must redouble our efforts. It is now that we must work even harder. So you'll ask yourself, what is our avodah? What is it that we are supposed to do now, 1 year into this ongoing war? What is our responsibility as communities and as individuals? Some of you may remember that a couple of years ago, actually October 28th, 2019, was the fifth game of the World Series. It was the Nationals against the Astros. Game number five. You may remember this. There was a man by the name of Jeff Adams. Jeff Adams was walking back to his seat holding two beers. But you know, those beers, the big ones, you can't get them outside of ball fields, right? Outside of stadiums. Right? Like the big ones. And of course, everything, like everything else, is marked up, probably $25 worth of beers. He's walking back to his seats. Jeff Adams is walking down the aisle, and he sees a ball, a fly ball, coming right towards him. And in that moment, Jeff Adams was faced with an incredible and overwhelming decision. Put down the beers, drop the beers, lose the money, catch the ball, or hold on to the beers and figure out what to do with the ball. Jeff Adams coined the phrase, always save the beers. He held on to his beers, arced his chest, took a little trick that he learned from his little league coach. The ball hit him in the chest, fell down right in front of him, and he was able to have the beers and his ball too. Subsequently, he signed an incredible deal with Bud Light, just as an aside. Unless you think Jeff Adams is a vain individual who cares about his beer, he's an Army veteran who served this country dutifully through multiple tours and uses his new fame to actually raise money for veterans. And when I heard that story, I'm a Schatani Maskir. I'm not a follower of the Nationals. But when I saw that story, I was so taken by it. Because there is an incredible, Mr. Haskell, there's an incredible lesson in this. In life, you can't hold on to everything. And in life, you have to choose, what are you going to hold on to and what are you going to let go of? And what you hold on to and what you put down says a lot about who you are. And so our avodah, as we gather here today, is to decide, as individuals and as a community, the community of Orthodox Jewry, what are the things we want to hold on to? And what are the things that we're ready to let go of? So number one, today we decide to embrace Achdus. You know, dear friends, when we walk out of this room, We're going to go into a stadium with many different kinds of Jews. And there is an awesome opportunity to forge bonds of achdus. There is an incredible opportunity to create bonds of national cohesion. You don't have to start inviting people for Shabbos. In fact, don't do that. It's going to be awkward. But you could say hello. You could say good morning, good afternoon. Incredible. What do you think about this event? Today we decide to hold on to achdus. Today when we gather with all of our brothers and sisters, we hold on to our achdus. And at the same time, we let go of the temptation to fight, to argue, and to create divisiveness within our camp. Number two, today, we will hold on to our continued commitment to growth. Whatever you're already doing, you're davening, daven more. You're learning, learn more. You're giving tzedakah, you're raising money, give more, raise more. We're tired. And all we want more than anything is a resolution, a favorable resolution, a victorious resolution to this war. But we don't determine that outcome. Our job is to keep fighting and to keep doing so. Whatever you are doing, today is the day that we hold on even tighter, commit ourselves to doing even more. And we resolve and we commit ourselves to letting go of spiritual and religious apathy. Number three, today we gather together to express our gratitude to President Biden, to Vice President Harris, to our elected officials, and pray that the incoming administration will continue to be a trusted ally of our ancestral homeland. And we will let go of the vitriol and negativity that has marked so much of this election season. And lastly, today, we will continue to hold on to our belief in the eternality of Am Yisrael, the centrality of our national homeland, the holiness of the mission of the Israel Defense Forces, and a commitment to bringing our hostages home. I know, like all of us know, that our future is incredibly bright. We will no longer content ourselves with saying Am Yisrael Chai, but Am Yisrael Yinatzeach. And not just in this war, but every single challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to bring our way. Our future is filled with blessing. And I want to end off with a bracha. I hope that the next time we gather here at National Stadium, it's because this place is used as a staging area for flights, messianic flights, to be leaving Dulles, to be leaving DWI. So maybe don't delete the MLB app immediately after tonight, because in Yerzah Hashem will be Zocha to receive those tickets. And I look forward in Yerzah Hashem to seeing that great day and celebrating it with all of you. B'mehirah b'yameinu. Amen.